Welcome to APB, New York Chiefs, a service for New York's police executives. Now, Mr. Mark Spahn, Director of Research, Development, and Training for the New York State Association of Chiefs of Police.
New York's DNA data bank began limited operations in 1996 when individuals convicted of homicide and certain sex-related crimes were required to submit a DNA sample. The DNA data bank was expanded in 1999 and again in 2004, but still only required samples from 14% of convictions in the state. That was until the most recent expansion in June 2006. Today, there are roughly 356,000 profiles in the New York State DNA data bank. Since it began, there have been more than 7,800 hits to the data bank. Of those, we're aware of convictions that have been secured in 1,755 cases. These convictions include 137 homicides, 453 sexual assaults, 153 robberies, and 870 burglaries around the state. We're talking with Gina Bianchi, Deputy Commissioner and Counsel at the Division of Criminal Justice Services. Gina, 356,000 profiles sounds like a lot, but obviously we're only looking at the tip of the iceberg.
That's correct, Mark. Currently in New York, only 46% of the individuals convicted of penal law offenses, and notice that I said convicted, not simply arrested, are required to submit a DNA sample. So we're actually collecting DNA from less than half of people convicted of penal law crimes.
What kind of crimes are we not collecting DNA on?
Some of the crimes that are still excluded are arson in the fourth degree, certain conspiracy as hate crime offenses, trespassing and menacing as hate crimes, fourth degree criminal possession of a weapon, second degree coercion, second degree aggravated harassment, and unlawfully dealing with a child. There's at least 300 crimes that are still not covered.
How do we compare to other states and the federal government?
Currently, the federal government in 47 states collect DNA from all convicted felony offenders. In addition, the federal government in 12 states collect DNA from everyone who's arrested for a felony. For years, New York was a leader on the collection front, but it's definitely losing ground in this regard.
Many times we think of DNA evidence as helping to solve crimes such as homicides and sexual assaults. Are there any stats on where the samples for case-solving hits like that come from?
There are, Mark, and we find that criminals don't specialize. Of the 3,000-plus offenders linked to sexual assault cases, 89% were in the databank for a crime other than a sex-related offense. And homicide cases are another amazing statistic. Individuals linked to nearly 700 homicides were in the databank for offenses such as drug crimes. That was really the most frequent one, as well as petty larceny, bail jumping, identity theft, burglary, you name it. The point is, collecting DNA for less serious offenses solves and ultimately prevents more serious and often violent offenses.
A bill introduced by the governor would permit all crimes DNA collection for all penal law convictions. To talk more about the details of this bill, we're joined by Sean Byrne, Acting Commissioner of the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services. Commissioner, how would this bill work?
It's very simple and straightforward. The pending legislation, which is part of the governor's executive budget, would mandate collection of DNA from every person convicted of a penal law crime. Nothing more, nothing less.
How would this expansion affect public safety?
Dramatically. We're absolutely certain, there's no question at all, that expanding the DNA databank will solve crimes that have already been committed and also prevent crimes that would be committed. A DCJS study showed that offenders linked to crimes using the DNA databank had an average of 11 arrests and 5 convictions prior to their DNA qualifying conviction. But that's only half the equation. There's no greater error in the criminal justice system than the conviction of an innocent person. Expanding the data bank will help prevent that terrible injustice.
Commissioner, it really does seem that we've limited ourselves in collecting DNA.
We certainly have, and our data bank is so limited, criminals who would otherwise be incarcerated are free to commit additional crimes and injure and kill additional people, and they are doing just that.
I'd like to talk about a couple of cases that exemplify why this expansion is so necessary. First, the case of Raymond McGill, who's said to be the poster child for the argument in favor of DNA expansion. He was convicted of petty larceny in 1999 and misdemeanor drug possession in 2003. Neither of those crimes required DNA samples. Then, in 2005, he was convicted of attempted armed robbery. So now, 2005, we have a DNA qualifying offense. What happens when we finally get his DNA in 2005?
He's linked to the rape of an 85-year-old woman in January 2000, the murder of a 50-year-old woman in March 2000, and a second murder of a 68-year-old man in January 2004.
Well, safe to say that had McGill's DNA been collected as a result of the petty larceny conviction, his connection to the January 2000 rape could have been discovered before the March 2000 murder.
And that murder, as well as the second murder and attempted robbery, could have been prevented.
Let's go back for a moment to McGill's misdemeanor drug possession conviction in 2003. That crime was not DNA eligible at the time. What about now?
It's still ineligible.
Let's talk about one more case. Dennis Sweeney pled guilty in 2006 to stealing wallets and credit cards. That got him a felony conviction for grand larceny fourth, which was and is a qualifying offense for a DNA sample. Tell me what happened when his DNA profile became part of the data bank.
That sample linked Sweeney to a murder and attempted murder from 2 years before. Sweeney later told a newspaper that the decision to plead guilty was probably one of the worst mistakes of my life. But that decision brought closure to a family whose patriarch had been fatally shot and his son injured 2 years before. Sweeney is now serving a life sentence, convicted after trial of murder and a laundry list of other felonies.
So, Commissioner, why are we failing to use a tool that we know, not think, but know, will solve crimes that have been committed, prevent crimes and victimization that would have occurred, exonerate innocent people, and shield who knows how many people from unnecessary interrogation?
Alas, political horse trading.
What do you mean?
Well, for years, the New York State Legislature has coupled the largely non-controversial All Crimes DNA Bill with other ancillary and highly controversial issues in hopes that those matters would slide through on the coattails of the expansion measure. In the meantime, New Yorkers are being victimized by preventable crimes, including rapes and murders. I believe it is time to stop using the lives of New Yorkers as a bargaining chip and enact Governor Patterson's legislation immediately and let unrelated or marginally related issues rise or fall on their own merit.
Aren't there other proposals on the table that would expand the data bank even more than the governor suggests, for instance, by including everyone arrested and not merely convicted of a crime?
Yes, but in the current fiscal climate, those are unrealistic. Today, the DNA data bank is current in processing DNA samples and could handle the estimated 100,000 samples that would come in annually under the governor's proposal with a relatively minimal additional expense. We could do this immediately as well. Expanding the DNA data bank further, as some of the other legislative proposals would do, could cost us tens of millions of dollars at a time when we don't have tens of millions of dollars, and it would also overburden the laboratory system. Proposals to expand only to certain felony arrests are a good idea, but could not be implemented immediately and have significant fiscal implications due to the expungement requirements if the offender is not actually convicted.
Thank you very much, Acting Commissioner Sean Byrne of the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services. DNA is a powerful crime-fighting tool, and it's clear that expanding the data bank will solve and prevent crimes and exonerate the innocent. Just as a result of the last expansion in 2006, which increased collections to a still meager 46%, there have been 2,099 hits, including 175 homicides, 675 burglaries, 745 sexual assaults, and 186 robberies. Unfortunately, and tragically for the victims of preventable crimes and for those who are unnecessarily targeted as suspects, our current law does not permit us to use this proven science in more cases. The New York State Association of Chiefs of Police supports the governor's DNA proposal as a rational step forward in crime prevention. To learn more about DNA in New York, visit the DCJS website at criminaljustice.state.ny.us. Click on the DNA link.
Thanks for joining Mark Spahn for APB, New York Chiefs. If you have a suggestion for a future APB topic, call us at 518-355-3371 or email at apb@nychiefs.org.